Good evening. I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us. We're glad that you came to worship with us. First and foremost, I need to make a little correction from this morning. I made a comment that Philip the Apostle was the same Philip that taught the Ethiopian eunuch, and they are not the same Philip. Unfortunately, it's too late to have caught everybody else that was here this morning. I know the difference. I don't know why it came out of my mouth. I knew that. Anyway, just make that little correction. We are in, if you would turn to 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. A couple weeks ago, we finished 1 Peter, and I'd like to look at 2 Peter. This was written right at the end of Peter's life. He was captive, awaiting death. He was aware of it. You can tell by his writings that he was aware of it. And I tell you, Peter was, I love studying the Apostle Peter just, for, if anything, for the change that can take place in a Christian. I love it. That we look at the Peter in the Gospels, and it's almost like a totally different man. This man is mature. This man, and not just older. You know, this is about 30 to 35 years later from the Gospels. It's not just that he's older, because I've known a lot of people that have gotten older that haven't gotten more mature. That sounds crazy. I've known people that have said, you know, I've been a Christian 40 years. They're a one-year Christian 40 times over. And Peter, we see change. We see maturity. We see something, and I tell you, somebody like me, it offers hope. That if Peter can mature into that, I think, man, there's hope for me. And let's get into Peter, or 2 Peter, the first chapter. And he starts off and he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting just the way he starts it out. He's laying the foundation. He's describing himself. One, he's an apostle. So it's giving the credibility to anybody, to the people that this is going to be sent to, the credibility of an apostle. But he first of all says, a bond servant, a slave. I have no other choice. A bond servant is a slave. Not by choice. He's by choice, but a bondservant is a slave. They have no other choice than to serve the master. And that's Peter. I like to think that from the day that Jesus was being tried before his crucifixion, and he denied him on that third time, and he and Jesus locked eyes, and the rooster crowed, and he remembered the things that Jesus had told him, and it said he went out and wept bitterly. He lived the rest of his life trying to atone for that, to make up for that weakness in his life. And now he is at the end of his life. Jesus had proclaimed to him the type of death over 30 years earlier. how he was going to die, like he had by crucifixion. And that is upon Peter now. And he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. The people that were getting this letter, us today who are receiving this letter, have the same like precious faith. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. We today have obtained that same like precious faith that Peter had, that he was so confident in. It goes on to say in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That grace and peace comes to us in the knowledge that we get of God. And that goes back to that idea of the Word. What the Word does for us. And what the Word can do for us when we apply ourselves to the Word. It can give us that grace, that peace, that comfort. And he's wanting that for us. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Again, this idea of knowledge, that through that knowledge of the Word, we can have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paul addressed that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, where he says, all Scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for righteousness, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, lacking in nothing. That's the same gospel, the same knowledge that Paul talked about, Peter's talking about. That through that knowledge of God that we get through the Bible, he doesn't work today. Curtis, do this. Scott, I want you. I'm glad he doesn't. I am so glad, because I got enough voices in my head anyway than another one I'm hearing. But we have it through God's Word. And Peter is saying here, that knowledge of God's Word, seek after it. You've got grace, you've got peace through that. By verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is no doubt we have to live in this world. We have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Every day we've got to, you know, we have to intermingle with people. You know, we're not like those religious monks that separate themselves in society or from society and are secluded from everything. We're not like that. We deal with the world. We're amongst the world. But even because of that, Peter is saying we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As being Christians, we don't have to be of the world. We're in it, but we don't have to be part of it. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Giving all diligence. It just doesn't happen. It's not a, I'll try a little here, a little there. I'll show up. You know, if I'm able to do something, I'll do it. It's giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Again, that knowledge of God's word comes up. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. We see a maturing process there that in a lot of ways, this process Peter himself has gone through. He's to that point that he can tell us what we must do. Granted, he's also being inspired by God to tell us this. But Peter has gone through these things. And he understands this is toward the end of his life. And he's wanting to share with others this precious information while he can. Verse 8, for if these things, and there's that word if again, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word knowledge again. And it just, knowledge of the word of God does not just come. You can't put your Bible under your pillow and sleep at night and let it kind of, so I wish we could do that. But it takes, like Peter said, all diligence. And he says, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. As a Christian, we will bear fruit. We're not a tree. Could you imagine looking at an apple tree and expecting to find apples and there's just nothing on it? Jesus said those will be chopped down and burned in the fire because they're unfruitful. They're worthless. All they do is take up space and water. An unfruitful tree. Peter says, you won't be unbarren. You will not be unfruitful. And we will produce that fruit that God wants us to. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Do you ever catch yourself going through life dragging baggage with you of guilt, of sin in your life that you just, of things you did years ago that you've asked forgiveness for, that God has granted you the forgiveness? Your brothers and sisters have granted you the forgiveness. Everybody has forgiven you but you. And Peter says here, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten. How do you forget that Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all sin? Jesus very rightly established the Lord's Supper. And we do it every Sunday, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Hopefully a day doesn't go by. Hopefully a day does not go by that we do not come to mind the sacrifice that was given to us. But at least if a day goes by, a week won't. A week will not go by that we as a body come together and we remember as the body of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for us. And that way we will not forget that we were cleansed from our old sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He has resigned himself. He knows he's not fearful of what lays not too far in the future for him. A lot of people, they're scared. But he's sure of what's next. He's confident. He's lived his life. He has been forgiven by Jesus. And he knows what lays ahead. He may not be looking forward to the moments of pain, because we're human. He's not fearing death. He realizes life is temporary. Boy, ain't that the truth. I tell you, 60 seemed so old years ago. So old. Time, you have a little bit different perspective of time the older you get. And here he's seeing his life as a tent, a temporary dwelling. And I will be putting off this tent shortly because the Lord Jesus showed me how my life must end. Moreover, verse 15, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He not only cares for them now, I want to write this down for you that you can refer to it later and be reminded. Have you ever dug out letters from somebody? Somebody's given you a letter, and I've had letters that I've literally worn out from the folding and unfolding, looking at them. You know, precious people in my life that has given me words of encouragement or of love or whatever. And that's what Peter is doing, that he's wanting to leave a reminder that when he's gone and not able to say these things anymore, he will still be an encouragement. He goes on to say in verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. There were people there in the first century, later on, that were presenting a teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That it was more spirit, that it was mystical. The teachings are good, but he wasn't really real. It was like an idea of Jesus. Peter's refuting that. He's saying, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Don't tell me he wasn't real. I was there. Don't tell me he didn't walk on the water, because I did too. I sunk and he had to save me, but don't tell me it didn't happen. Don't tell me he didn't heal a blind man. I saw it. Don't tell me he didn't heal a leper. Don't tell me he didn't raise after the crucifixion. Because I saw it. I talked with him. I touched him. We ate together. We were eyewitnesses of that. For he received from God the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter was there at the transfiguration. I saw it. Me and John and James, we saw it. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you will do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns in the morning and the morning star rises in your hearts. We have that prophetic word confirmed. The prophecies have been fulfilled. The word was real. And he says, you will do well to heed. It reminds me what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:17 or 10:12, where he says, take heed lest you fall. Peter is saying the same thing. You will do well to heed this information. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Going right back to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's not just a matter of people's own interpretation. There is truth in the Word. And it is our duty, our responsibility to study that word so we will know what is God's word to us. And he uses the word knowledge so many times in this opening chapter. He uses the word diligence or to be diligent many times. Next time that I have the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday, we will look at chapter 2. You might just read ahead and see what we will be looking at. We always like to offer the members an opportunity and offer an invitation that if there is anything that you need from the congregation, prayers, if you need the opportunity to repent, make atonement for sins that you had committed. If you need to repent, do so. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism and have studied the Word of God, you've heard it, you believe it, you need to confess, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God before men, you need to repent of your sins and put your Lord on in baptism. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then you start that walk. You'll be added to the Lord's church. You're not baptized to join us. You're baptized to be saved, to have your sins washed away, and the Lord adds you to the church. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.